We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Flew to Kansas City today, here through Sunday, doing some family stuff. First time flying with the two kids. Bunch of luggage. Got the double stroller.
Parents live for the tiny vacations from their kids. The little tiny, like when you put your kids in the car and you close their door, and that little walk around to your own door. It's like a carnival cruise. It's just the greatest thing.
Owen's never been on a moving walkway. We go on the moving walkway at Midway. We've got a double-wide stroller. Person in front of us is stopped on the moving walkway, so we can't get around, given the double stroller. We're about 50 feet from the end, maybe 15 seconds. Lady comes up behind me, gives me the big, ugh, and then says, I guess I should have walked.
Oh, that is a burn!
Because she can't get around.
Right.
And I say, yeah. Sorry, we cost you about 15 seconds.
Oh, snap, snap, snap.
There are a lot of hall monitors in our audience.
Yeah, because I looked up what they had brought in, and they're right.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I believe they are.
Signage usually says no strollers on the moving walkways.
No canes, walkers, carts, or wheeled vehicles, including strollers.
Okay, this might be a suggestion.
It's not illegal. It's frowned upon.
That's a rule I have to follow now?
There's lots of things in the airport. You're not just going to let your own personal whim dictate what you follow and what you don't.
Yeah, I broke the rule of bringing a stroller onto the moving walkway.
Yeah, you did.
I'll reread that situation. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
Sue me. I'm going to do it again.
The other people I hate are the people that get onto the moving walkway and then just stand there like it's a ride. Excuse me, there's no animated pirates or bears along the way here. Do your legs work at all?
One, two, three.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jeff.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thanks for being with us. You can get some questions in for one last thing. Text them, twitch them in. Shane will gather them and ask them. We will answer at the end of the show. That was the story of bad person traveling. Told a story earlier of good person traveling who was just super helpful, chose the seat across the aisle from us, said, I had three kids. Let me know if I can help you out. Asked for stories of humanity, Spiegs, when traveling, good or bad.
Yeah.
Texter, on a flight out of North Carolina, my brother and I were laughing so loudly, a guy came over and hung out with us for 2 hours. When his flight got called, he picked up the tab and went off. We called him Moonlight Graham. That's pretty great.
That is pretty great.
That is pretty great.
Yeah, we grabbed a bunch of those and saved a bunch of those, and people can still get a few in at this point at 312-644-6767, because you were saying humanity shows up. I like the ones where the best of humanity shows up. I like those.
Yeah.
309. I saw someone punch a Spirit Gate agent over charging him for a carry-on big bag.
Oh, that's bad.
That's humanity. And here's the thing. I'm flying Spirit tomorrow.
Oh.
Are you really?
Yeah, it was the best time for me to get in.
Are your affairs in order?
Yeah. I got a will.
Okay, good.
God.
I wanted to get in at 11:30 in the morning, and that's the only one that can get me there.
You're going to Vegas.
Yeah.
Huh? Spirit Yikes. Is a little sketchy. I fly Frontier to New Jersey to see my dad sometimes.
I like Frontier.
Yeah. All right.
Bunch of risk takers out there. I don't know if I could do it. Good and bad story of humanity. On a Hong Kong subway, I judged this guy for how he looked and dressed. A few stops later, a blind man was about to get on the subway, and the man that I judged hard got out, took the blind man by the arm, led him onto the subway car, and I just sat there watching. I felt like a real POS that I judged this guy solely on appearance, and it turns out he's a better person than me. It's a lesson learned that day. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I got an all-timer story of good humanity while traveling.
Let's do it.
My sister was backpacking across Europe with a couple of friends when she was in her early 20s, and one of them got off the train and went and used the bathroom and then came back and saw the train pulling away, thought it was their train, but it was a different part of the train that had disconnected, jumped, fell, hit her head, lying there. They had to go to the hospital in Italy. They're in the hospital waiting room, my sister and her friend crying while the other friend is in the hospital, and a little girl comes up to her and says, "Do you have a place to stay tonight?" She was the only one in the family who spoke English, helped my sister and her friend to their house. They stayed for 3 days while the friend got better, and that girl is still a friend of the family, and like the kids know the kids and everything like that. That's like 28 years ago, something like that.
That's an all-time good person move.
Right? All-time good humanity. And it was a little girl. A little girl. She convinced her parents, "I want to ask them if they have a place to stay. They're crying. They're in trouble."
That's very nice.
It's kind of the Anne Frank, people are good at heart, even as the Germans are you know, climbing up your staircase.
Yeah, I wish I had that kind of belief.
I was on a work trip, and the plane went down, and I ended up on an island, and my wife got with another dude.
Wow.
Pretty quickly.
Was it your dentist?
It was my dentist. How'd you know? Have I told that story before?
I think so.
She got with another dude pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then I came back, and I was like, what the hell?
What about your friend Wilson? Did he survive?
Yeah, he was there with me the whole time.
That's good. At least you weren't alone.
It's good to have friends. Well, you can get your... I just think it brings out the worst and best of people. Travel. It's a real, like, you know, Vegas, great people watching city. Shane's going there tomorrow. The airport, just how humans interact in the wild. I just have a lot of thoughts on all of them. What you wear, how comfortable you are taking off your shoes, how mean people are to gate agents. It's just, it's insufferable. But you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Are the optimist. Sometimes overly so by your own admission.
It's true.
And you said the Cubs had a floor of 80 wins. Uh-huh. And right now they sit nowhere near an 80-win pace at a very, very unacceptable, at this point in the rebuild, 26-35, winning 42.5% of their games.
Ugh.
Another loss last night on this West Coast trip. Game is tied 2-2 when Tyone exits the game after going 5 1/3, ends up 6-2 quickly. Bullpen, another collapse. I feel like any optimism from you is waning.
It's been beaten out of me. It has absolutely been beaten out of me. And it's the effect of a bullpen. But it's not just that. I'm having trouble understanding why it's this bad. Because a lot of things are going according to plan. Like, they had three starting pitchers in the top 10 for weak contact most of the year. You know? Dansby Swanson is playing up to his contract. Justin Steele has been a homegrown ace. Marcus Stroman might start the All-Star game. Cody Bellinger was far better than expected. Suzuki came through the oblique injury mostly healthy. Morel sets records with a home run barrage upon arrival. Yan Gomes is having a career year. Drew Smyly was brilliant for a nine-start streak. Happ and Horner have been extended and are signed and have had stretches of excellence. Happ's on-base percentage is .395. The team OBP is 10th. Somehow the whole is less than the sum of the parts. And I can't figure out exactly what it is. I know we've talked about the soup of like situational hitting and situational pitching and managerial decisions and roster evaluation. And so it's some of all of that, but it's more difficult than at any point Because you're plus, you're 60-plus games in. What are they, 62 games in? He said 26 and 35, so 61 games in. It's kind of you are what you are territory here. If you're not here already, you're really, really getting there. And what they are is a team that doesn't win games. And, you know, you heard it in Carter Hawkins' pause when you asked the question to him yesterday. Like, is it still good process, good play, bad results? Like, are they playing well? And the answer, I can no longer say yes. I said yes to you a week ago in that regard, and I can't say yes now. They're a bad team right now.
Yeah, I was there before you because I, probably a product of preseason expectations, but one-run losses and bullpen losses are tough losses. They, and you'd say, well, they're competitive, even in the losses. Okay, that's a very generous way to spin what this has been. And another thing that I asked Carter about yesterday, I was like, do you really believe that you guys are special at finding a bullpen when it might not be the type of thing that you really can be special at? Because a starter throws 140, 160 innings a year. That's a pretty good sample. A relief pitcher who throws 40, 50, or 60 innings a year, it's such a small sample that there's always going to be bigger spikes and peaks and valleys with when you're dealing with those small sample size over multiple years. Like, yes, you can have a good pitching infrastructure, and yes, you can have, you know, a director of pitching and generally speaking, maximize guys. But that still doesn't mean that if you sign a few veterans each year and you hope to get them, like if normally you go 3 out of 4 on your veterans, but one year you go 1 out of 4, that's just, no one's impervious to that.
Yeah, and that's where they are with the veterans in the bullpen is absolutely 1 out of 4. And then some of the homegrown pitch lab creations have obviously failed and fallen apart. And it's maybe they got their head out over their skis on what they thought their pitching infrastructure could do, or maybe it's a bunch of specific anecdotal problems that are leading to this. But it has been a disaster. And it's interesting because, like, on the south side, now that you can slot Liam Hendricks in at 9, it just makes the manager's job easy. It makes everybody else's job easier to work backwards from that. And the Cubs have never been able this season to slot anybody into the 9th inning or really anybody into the long man role other than Adbert, because Keegan Thompson fell apart. Thought that was going to be the key. Adbert and Keegan as the two long men who sort of alternate if need be as the bulk relievers, the middle closer who could stay for a couple innings. That hasn't worked. And Brandon Hughes being hurt has damaged it. They're just, the bullpen is an absolute mess. And it's the biggest part of the team that has caused so many of these losses, obviously.
So they're heading towards, you know, so there was division in 2020, 21 sellers, 22 sellers, 2023 looking like they'll be sellers. Because they're not even, they're half a game worse than the White Sox. But aren't the Sox like 3.5 games out? Because the Cubs are 7.5 games out. Because the first place team in the American League Central is now under 500. So The White Sox Central is even more pathetic than the Cubs Central.
Yeah, Minnesota lost today. They are under 500, and this, I think, is as late as a division leader has been under 500 in the history of baseball, I do believe.
There you go. So I there's not much reason for optimism on this year's team. I still wouldn't punt completely on it. Like, I still think there's a lot of very meaningful things to observe.
Well,
when Steele comes back, does he come back for good? Can you sign Stroman before the trade deadline? Because if not, you have to trade Stroman at the deadline because there's no qualifying offer available for you. Bellinger, like, there are huge things that need to be figured out for the Cubs that will absolutely impact whether or not they can be a good team opening day of next year in the next 8 weeks.
Well, yeah, and what you're talking about is on point, and there's more to put on that list, and it's the kind of stuff that a bad team focuses on during the year. When you are bad, you got to make sure that you get the most out of your assets, so you trade them. Or if you're going to try and keep one, that you sign them, but that you know when you get that clarity. Also, when you are bad, you keep playing kids that you think have learned everything they can learn in the minor leagues. You keep playing Matt Mervis and let him figure it out against big league pitching. And there's more to talk about there and more that we can get into. But you know what I mean? Like, some of the decisions that you make as a bad team are very, they're obviously very, very different. And you move to development at the big league level. You move to, you know, trying to make sure that guys stay healthy and do everything that they need to do for your future while you're also getting through the year. And it's a crappy place to be considering that pivot in full.
Yeah, I saw Haw say that, you know, Mervis should be sent down. The only way I agree with that is if inside the dugout and inside the clubhouse, he has lost confidence. Like, if he's hanging his head and he's defeated,
yeah,
and he feels like he needs to, you know, see some, you know, barrel up the ball, see some results, drop him down a little bit in level, go back to AAA, clear his head, and then come back up, fine. But he hits the ball hard still, a decent amount.
Yes, he does.
Like, I don't think, and again, not in that clubhouse every day, but I don't think he's lost confidence in his ability to succeed as a hitter at the big league level. I think he's just really, really, really struggling. And Hosmer's gone. Mancini has been nothing special. Like, who are you giving the at-bats to?
Yeah. More Mancini and
if there was an option who was hot,
well,
I'd be cool with it.
When Bellinger comes back, I mean, if you're trying to win games, is sending Mike Tauchman down to the minors or taking time away from Mike Tauchman a good answer? No. So does Tauchman stay in center and Bellinger plays first sometimes instead of Mervis against righties because he can play over there?
If that's the plan, that's fine. You know, but he'll be. If that happens and they stay out of it, he's going to be back soon because you do need to see what he can do at this level. Can he work through it?
Yeah, no. I just bring up the Bellinger example as something they could do if they want to pivot to that kind of thought process. I think Mervis should stay. You referenced him hitting it hard, and he is. Evan Altman over at Cubs Insider wrote up where Matt Mervis ranks in terms of hard hit rate. Among 430 players who've had at least 25 batted ball events, I like that, batted ball events so far this year, Mervis is 24th in hard hit rate. 24th out of 430. His batting average on balls in play is like 50 points lower than what he's had at any level since the beginning of last year. It's a 244 BABIP. So that stuff indicates that he's hitting it hard and he's hitting it at people. Loved the double the other night off the lefty Anderson, Mr. Anderson, for the Angels. But then the error later, you know, adds to the pile of the first thing you talked about, which is that where's his head? How's his mindset? Is he discouraged? And supposedly from everybody who's inside there, the answer is no, that he struggled a lot in 2021 and got through it. And now he's struggling, but he can get through it again.
And, you know, so you're off. You think they're getting to 80 wins?
I think I have to
concede. Oh boy, here we go.
Kind of a high floor.
It's kind of a high floor.
I just want to say that I wish you had explained to me what the floor means in gambling terms.
Yeah, it's my fault. Yeah.
You were busy reshuffling deck chairs.
Okay. All right. Now he's lashing out in all directions. All right. Bringing up old stuff.
Old stuff? It's like 20 minutes ago.
That's pretty old.
It's 25 minutes ago.
We're talking about the Cubs now, my friend.
Am I conceding that the 80-win... Well, because here's the thing. If they end up making trades, then yeah, they're not going to hit that 80-win floor. You didn't tell me that was a part of it.
I did. I said it literally the first time you said it. It's like they've been sellers the last couple of years. They easily could be sellers again. And now they're going to be sellers again. And they're going to win 74 games.
Maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not good, man.
I'm shaking. I'm not stirred. I am shaken.
Yeah.
By this Cubs
stretch. You're wobbly. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. It's not good. And there will be a ton of heat on them to win next year. No matter how this goes.
Yeah.
You can't have their payroll and their expectations that they created and be sellers at three straight deadlines and then go in the next year and win 82 games. I think people would be fired. Like I think that the good faith would run out next year after, you know what I mean? At the conclusion of next season. I think that it's totally reasonable to say another offseason of spending in conjunction with your top prospects being up and then put that pressure on for next year. And that's not to say that Jed and Carter need to be like operating by fear of the fans or out of desperation yet or anything like that. Just like if we were going to do like the 18-month forecast for the Cubs, that's where I think they'll realistically need to be.
Did you see? Did you happen to see on Cubs pregame the other day on Marquee, Lance Brozdowski had a projected rotation. He was, you know, hope trafficking about Shohei Ohtani at the top of that rotation if the Cubs were to sign him.
Well, that's adorable.
Right. It is. It is adorable. And there's a lot of franchises doing that kind of thing right now. But Ohtani and Stroman and Steele and Tyone. And then he had Shane Bieber there. He had them pulling off a trade with Carter Hawkins' former team in the offseason and getting Shane Bieber here to be part of things in next year's rotation. And I thought that was interesting to think about how much spending you're going to do for the rotation, because the spending they'll need to do, like, will they next offseason break what has been a tradition and spend a bunch of money on bullpen guys with the long term, or will they still sign their like 1 year bullpen wonders and try to do that after it failed so miserably on them? You know,
I don't think that they'll change that. I think that you might go and try to have a better closer from day one and have that position solidified. But I'd be surprised if they approach the bullpen completely differently. What is your path to a star bat? What's your path to a dude who can hit 35 home runs? Where do you find him? Because there isn't that thing in the lineup either. Like the OPS numbers, and we'll see what it ends up being at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that this is an above average offensive team over 162. I know it has been so far based on those numbers.
On OBP, yes.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced of that over the course of 162, and just run production. Like, where's the guy that you need to pitch around?
Yeah.
Where's the dude who can hit 40 home runs and start an all-star game?
As of now.
Because of his bat.
As of now on OPS, they are 16th.
League average.
They are exactly league average. And in terms of runs scored, they're 21st.
Yeah. That's what they feel like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just watching the vast majority of every game, it doesn't feel like a lineup that is intimidating in any way. And for them to be successful offensively, they need to get them on and string hits together.
Isn't it
That's
weird?
Very difficult to do against the level of velocity that exists in the game today.
Isn't it weird though about like all the individual things that seem to be going pretty well? You know, like we talked about at the top, it's just the whole is worse than the sum of its parts.
Bad situational hitting, bad bullpen, bad back 20 to 40% of the rotation. You lose a lot of games that way. The optimism of a phenom. Very few things more fun in sports. It's next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Well, that, and there's the name.
Afternoons on The Score. What do you know?
Here comes. De La Cruz bashes to right center. Is he for real? He's going to go three. Easily has a triple.
De La Cruz, who appeared to be consciously pitched around at times in his major league debut. Yes, there were often raucous chants of Ellie, but in his later plate appearances, it would go from loud chants of Ellie to tennis match golf tournament silence.
Anticipation to see what...
Oh, goodness! That ball had a family! In game two, his first home run! A
ball almost exited the ballpark.
The hardest hit ball by a Red this year. That was nearly 115. It brought everyone to their feet. Do you feel this? The hair is standing up on my arm. It's like being at a rock concert.
What a great call that was on the home run.
Right?
That ball had a family.
Yeah, unbelievable. John Sadak or Sadak? I'm not familiar with his work, I must admit. Reds TV guy.
Yeah, that was a great call.
I totally agree.
Elly De La Cruz.
Uh-huh.
That guy is a physical specimen. Is that a good way to put it?
6'5", shortstop, who is a switch hitter. Outrageously fast, incredibly powerful, number one prospect in all of baseball, now here and producing immediately.
Putting together a nice little highlight reel in his very, very, very brief time in the big leagues. And what is cool about it is to see the reaction that he is getting. He represents hope.
Yes, he does. And I don't know, there's some fan bases that haven't had a guy like this, like to this extent, you know? Because he's that guy, he's showing up. His double that he hit, his first hit, was the hardest hit ball by any member of the Cincinnati Reds this year, 112 miles an hour. Then the home run was at 114. You know, like outrageous. His triple that he hit, he was the fastest guy from home to third base of anyone in baseball this year. That's in game number two. And it's like to a part of that stadium where you don't hit triples. It's just like a gapper to the wall. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's a triple easily for me. It's outrageous. The arm is incredible. The speed is incredible. The power, it's all there. And, yes, it's like it represents hope, but also like that impossibly electric, like, oh, my God, is this guy the greatest thing ever? Like allowing yourself.
Oh, that's what you're thinking?
Yeah, you know?
Greatest like, thing ever.
Well, I mean, just like that feeling of like, I think we might have the best player ever to play. I think we might have that guy. It's possible.
Well, I mean, like, the highlights are incredible. And my patented eye test that Dave Wonsdott laughs at.
Yeah.
He looks like he's playing the wrong sport. You know, like he looks like he's too good of an athlete for baseball. You know, like honestly, 6'5", shortstop.
Dude, the bat doesn't even look long enough in his hands. It's like, what is that little thing?
He looks kind of weird.
Well, yeah, you look at him and O'Neal Cruz, 6'7", and yes. He is like, where do they come from? I know it's Dominican Republic, but what lab specifically in the Dominican Republic?
I don't know. I'll check next time I go. I'll find the lab. And build us some ball players.
But you know how, like, Wembanyama is getting that? Like, Giannis got it?
Yes.
Like, sometimes it's like, to the other end of the spectrum, like, Kyler Murray, Bryce Young. Like you don't look right. Like, it doesn't look right.
Not compute.
That is what his highlights look like.
Yes.
It looks like it is a mistake.
Right. And who's the... Who's the tight end? He hasn't panned out just yet, but in Atlanta?
Kyle Pitts.
Yes, so sometimes you get one in the NFL, right? DK Metcalf is like, he shouldn't be that big and that fast.
Yes.
That shouldn't be the case.
Right.
It transcends baseball. It transcends whatever sport it is sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, these are all the, you know, the 0.1 percenters, but then even within that, there are some unicorns.
Yeah.
And... that might be what this is, whether the talent is there or if it just ends up being the athleticism and the highlights. I don't know, but there isn't much more exciting for a fan base than when you think you've got the next it thing.
Yes.
When you think you have the guy, you know, I mean, Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor was very much that for the Cubs.
It's funny. I was asking a Reds fan. I know his initials are Ryan Porth.
Porth.
Was asking him.
Y'all, see that kid with the Reds hit the ball?
I mean, he's so excited. He said, like, his family text thread has been nothing but Elly De La Cruz for, like, 3 weeks. And now he's here, and they're all going ape bleep.
We haven't felt this since Billy Hamilton.
You know, it's funny. But I asked him, like, has the Reds fan base ever had that? And I'm like, Eric Davis? Barry Larkin? He said Aroldis Chapman. because when Aroldis Chapman was coming up, throwing 102, 104,
sure,
you're like, oh, yeah.
What about Willie Mo Pena?
Oh, now you're speaking my language. But, I mean, when's the last time a Chicago fan base had this? Pretty recent, isn't it?
Tanny and I went to Kopech's debut.
That was pretty special. You thought maybe you had the guy. But I was thinking Luis Robert. And I was as guilty of it as anybody. But it wasn't even us, because it was all the experts. It's like gammons and people throwing around the names of the greatest players in the history of the world.
I could talk about Luis Robert all day.
And I've seen a lot of Under Armour mannequins that look like that.
Going Ken Griffey, going Willie Mays with him.
Andre Dawson comes to mind.
I was fortunate enough to be able to watch Roberto Clemente play. I have heard that comp with him before.
A combination of Andrew Jones and Bo Jackson.
The combination of speed and power. I think maybe potentially Aaron Judge.
Fergie and Jesus also.
Yeah. I remember when we were playing that comp game with Luis Robert. It got a little ridiculous.
We'll see.
It's true. He's playing well.
Winyard today? He's got that dangly little cross earring off his right ear.
All right. Well.
Doing TikToks.
Worked for Barry Bonds.
It did work.
With other things.
Yeah. add him to the comp list.
One of the things that worked for Barry Bonds.
The dangly cross earring.
Yeah. Victor Conti went to prison for that. The dangly cross earring.
That was steroids, I think.
Oh!
It was the steroids. Yeah. That's what it was.
One of the two. So, I think, when's the last time the Cubs had it? You referenced Pryor and Wood.
I mean, Schwarber, Theo was talking about Babe Ruth.
I don't know, that was absurd.
But when the smartest guy in baseball references Babe Ruth, gets pretty exciting.
Yes.
That was a big one.
I think it's Bryant. Like, the expectation of Bryant, and maybe it was caused what Kevin Acey said from the San Diego County Tribune and Courier.
San Diego Union Tribune.
Thank you. Thank you very much. San Diego County Credit Union. Is Picayune. That what it, the point poinsettia, poinsettia Picayune?
Gazette.
That's what it is.
It's impossible to think more highly of Chris Bryant than I do. To overstate it is almost impossible in terms of what he could mean to a franchise in all facets. He's a five-tool player, and he is nicer and more genuine than he is a good baseball player. You can just tell that the guy wants to be great. When you observe him play on a daily basis or on a regular basis, you're going to absolutely fall in love with Chris Bryant. I'm a married man. It's all good. I don't need to defend myself here. I wanted to go home with the kid.
I think that was a positive review, Mac.
Yeah, this sounds like Jerry Reinsdorf talking about Jim Thome.
He was right.
He was right, and we lived with that. That's the thing, Danny. We lived with that. Is this guy going to be as good as Kevin Acey told us he was going to be? And, I mean, college player of the year, minor league player of the year, and then the entire industry was pissed that he was being held back, even though he was so obviously ready to be a star, you know?
Rookie of the year, MVP.
Yes. To me, that's the Cubs. Some people on the text lines going back earlier, Starlin Castro.
A big one.
That was a big one, and there was nothing else there. There was nothing else there. It was like the one person. That's when I wanted the ISO camera on Starlin Castro. Can we just watch that guy instead of the rest of the team?
So for the Bulls, it's obviously Derek.
Yes. Blackhawks, here you go.
Blackhawks, Connor Bedard.
It's coming. I mean, it was Taves and Kane for one generation of Hawks fans.
But okay, so for the Bears, Mitch was the second pick. But there was a ton of confusion around it because no one had watched him.
Yeah.
He wasn't like the top prospect. He'd only played the 13 games in North Carolina. So like there was excitement, there was hope, but it wasn't like you got the phenom and the generational guy, nor was it that way for Fields because he was the fourth quarterback in his class.
Yeah.
At times last year it was for Fields, but he wasn't a prospect at that point. He was already a pro. Who is the guy for the Bears?
I don't know that there is one.
Kevin White.
Impossibly big, impossibly fast, first wide receiver taken.
No, it's not.
I know, but like
And wasn't Amari Cooper taken before Kevin White?
Maybe.
In that draft?
Yeah, you might be about that. I don't like that you know stuff.
You guys got one for the Bears?
No.
I don't think so.
What was the hype like around Alonzo Spellman? I just remember him being a specimen, but I don't remember where he was drafted and what the hype was like him coming in.
Not like that. I mean, Urlacher was... There was a lot of hype about Urlacher because as a physical freak, it seemed like a safety playing middle linebacker. And that's what we'd heard, and we got excited about it, and he was that right off the bat. So that was pretty damn exciting. But
People saying, like, Cutler, no, he was a pro. He wasn't a prospect.
Right, everything else is a veteran. Like, you know, you did an hour live on Twitter Spaces or whatever it was when Khalil Mack got, when they traded for Khalil Mack.
Yeah, very exciting, but known, known commodity. Julius Peppers is very exciting. Known commodity.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, when you think you've got the phenom, when you've got, like, the next thing for the sport.
Yeah. And no, it wasn't Devin, because Devin was taken with dreams of him being a corner or a wide receiver or, like, some Deion Sanders stuff. But he was in the second round. Devin, late second round, right?
Yeah.
So the closest I got is Urlacher. It's funny. Cedric Benson at number 4 overall. The first running back in the draft.
But was he seen as a franchise transformative figure?
No.
Like, yeah, I don't think so.
Tommy Harris is a big deal.
Tommy Harris is a big deal.
David Terrell is one of those wideouts that you're like, oh, maybe the Bears finally got one.
Yep, everyone believed in David Terrell.
Yep, Curtis Enos, again, the first running back in the draft.
I mean, Chris Williams was said to be a franchise tackle.
Yeah, but like I guess
injury,
I mean, maybe it's just
Rashawn Salaam.
Yeah, maybe in football it has to be a quarterback, like a transformational franchise guy, like a top prospect in these other sports. The only person that really has that impact is a quarterback, and the Bears have obviously never had that.
I think sometimes it can be a wide receiver. Matt Millen took 3 of them with the Detroit Lions. You know?
It's kind of pathetic, isn't it?
It's
kind of pathetic to think back. Like, they've never once drafted someone in the first round that looks to be someone to take over the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've never had their Ellie De La Cruz.
Whereas we see it all the time with other teams.
Yeah. See it all around every league. So it's like the Reds fan base is having that moment. And it's pretty special for the Porthonator.
That's exciting. Yeah. That's exciting. We'll answer a couple of questions for one last thing next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on The Score.
Just one more thing, please.
I thought you had a clock to punch.
I do. I'm leaving right now.
It's time for One Last Thing.
Let's let someone else ask a couple questions.
I just want to ask you.
And then we'll come back to you.
One question.
How about that? Let's let everybody else and we'll come back to you.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the
one
show.
Question.
Then I can figure out who I want to answer to. I don't need your help with that.
I just want to ask you one question.
Does anyone else have another question first?
I got a question.
All right.
I just want to ask you.
Thank you.
One question.
One Last Thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Don't have much time. We got a question or two, Shane. What do we got?
Yeah, from me. What do you think that dumbass Anthony Rizzo did to end the game against the White Sox today?
Hit a double play right at Romy Gonzalez, 4-6-3, and the White Sox win their second in a row at Yankee Stadium.
Did you know he chokes up with 2 strikes?
Yeah, he's got a B-hack.
The B-hack, I've heard.
They are reviewing it, though.
Folks. Yeah, they're reviewing.
I don't know. We have standard definition in here in Market 3 and can't see whether or not the ball is in the glove yet.
Yeah, T.A. might have stepped off before he made the pivot. I think
he's good.
That's a double play.
Thank the Lord.
Neighborhood play doesn't count anymore, but you don't need it there.
Kevin Lapka.
Good rendition today. Good rendition.
That was good.
Our video guy, Kevin Lapka, wants to know if we're going to go see Messi play the Fire in October. Fat chance, dude.
No, man. Come on. Is he Lionel Messi or is it Lionel Messi?
Bad start.
Lionel Train, Lionel Messi.
It's Lionel.
Lionel. It's pretty cool. Dude got a portion of the Apple TV money for subscription to the MLS package.
Why?
His name is Robert Paulson. Wait.
God, I hate the Yankees, man. I hate them.
Right there with you.
Hate them.
Have fun in Vegas, Shane.
Yeah, I'm going to start drinking in about 5 minutes.
Nice. Spiegs, Who are you with tomorrow?
Marshall Harris and I will be here on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. You have fun in Kansas City. Happy birthday to your grandfather, Danny
Thank
Parkins.
You.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Mike.
Should be a good, nice family weekend.
That's
appreciate
awesome.
Appreciate the flexibility, guys. Today on the show, we had Will Perdue and Dan Wiederer. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
In all honesty, the boat is loaded. I've got the ice and the cold ones on it right now. And as soon as I get off this phone, I'm starting the engines and I'm going offshore.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.